This time I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. We are doing a summer series. Every summer we do Summer in the Psalms. And I try to pick Psalms that have some connection. And this summer I'm focusing on what I'm going to call the maskils and mictums of David. And I'm going to explain what a maskil is. We're going to read one today in Psalm 54. And these psalms are there's a group of them beginning in Psalm 52, going all the way to Psalm 60, and then there's a couple of others scattered in the Psalters, and that's what we're going to focus on this summer. But today our focus is on Psalm 54, and I'd ask that you follow along with me as I read aloud. I want to remind you this is God's holy and authoritative, inspired and infallible word. Psalm 54, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites went and told Saul, is not David hiding among us? O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves, Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked and triumph on my enemies. Thus ends the reading of God's word. May he bless it unto us. I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this psalm. I know some of you like to take some notes, and I will do my best to help you if that's something you choose to do. But it'd be great to just have the word of God in front of us as we look at it, as we study it, as we meditate on it. That we would, as we prayed, and as the kids learned, that we'd hide God's word in our heart. And hide Psalm 54 in our heart as well. But before we do that, let's go to our Lord and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We acknowledge that your word is truth. We'd ask that by your Holy Spirit, that you'd help us to see this truth, that you'd help us to receive it, that as you speak to us by your word and spirit, that you would speak to us about Christ and the hope that is ours in him, that we would see the greatness of your name. All this we pray in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, betrayal from a trusted person is difficult. This person that you may know on your job or at school, maybe in your neighborhood, a relationship you have, or someone even in the church, who when they betray you, they turn the tides against you. The pain that it causes, the hurt, the bitterness that can fester our hearts. As a result, it leaves us anxious. It can leave us burdened, scarred, even exhausted. Bitterness is a difficult experience. Many of us, if not all of us, may have experienced this before. That hurt, the pain that it causes. I say all this because David in this psalm is experiencing this as well. I would even go so far as to say David is experiencing it in a much greater sense than what you and I ever could. Because David's life is on the line. David is currently being pursued by Saul. We saw this in Psalm 52, didn't we? When David is betrayed by an Edomite, Doeg the Edomite, as David goes and he gets a weapon and some food for him and his army, and Saul finds out, he goes to the priest at Nob, and these people who rat him out. and Doeg the Edomite, because Saul's people wouldn't kill the priests. Doeg the Edomite did. The descendant of Esau would go, and he did it. It's one thing for David in Psalm 52 to be betrayed by an Edomite. But here in Psalm 54, he is betrayed by his own people. You see, David, if you would look, if you would go to 1 Samuel 23, and maybe you can look at that for your devotional time today. But in 1 Samuel 23, David risks his own life and his life of his army, and he goes and he delivers one of the towns in Ziph from the Philistines. And he delivers them. And yet, here at this point, as Saul's pursuing them, the Ziphites not only tell Saul where David is hiding, they get exactly which hill he's hiding on. And later on, by the way, in 1 Samuel 26, they do it again. Betrayed by his own people. Psalm 54 is a song for those like David who are feeling abandoned, hopeless, or betrayed. That might be you today. Feeling that. And so I want to look at the psalm with three parts in it. And this psalm really focuses not just simply on the hopelessness and the abandonment and the betrayal that one might feel, but this psalm is really centered around the practice of prayer, as so many other psalms are. And we're going to see some basic principles of prayer in this psalm that are going to be so helpful for you and for me today. I want to offer to you three of them. Three of them. The first that we're going to see is David's petition. David's petition in verses 1 through 3. The petition he lifts in the midst of his circumstances. We learn some things about when we're in the midst of circumstances and how we should pray too. Then in verses 4 and 5, David turns and he proclaims, he makes a proclamation as he meditates on the person and work of God. In verses 4 and 5. So we see a petition, we see a proclamation, and then finally in verses 6 and 7, we see a praise. A praise. And if we think about our prayer life, isn't that what our prayer life should encompass too? Petitions to God, proclamations of who He is, praise to Him. Some basic principles for us to learn today. David teaches us as he is in dire straits. So let's look at this passage a little more closely. The first point I want to make is David's petition. David's petition to God in the midst of his own circumstance. He is praying here that God would deliver him from his enemies. Notice verses 1 through 3. We see, O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. And then it ends with that Selah. And we've learned in our Psalms, as we looked at the Psalms, when we see that Selah, that's almost that pause, stop, and ponder for a moment. So David here is asking us to stop and pause and ponder on these three verses. David's petition. David desires to be delivered from his enemies. David here pleads in his petition, he pleads for God's help. And he bases it on God's promises. Notice David here asks basically for three things in each of these verses. The first thing he asks for is to save me by your name. Or rescue me by your name. The second thing we see, petition in this in these verses is vindication. We see that word right there in verse in the end of verse 1. Vindicate me by your might. And then in verses 2 and 3, there's a third petition that David asks for. He asked for an answer. An answer. Let's look at those. First of all, David asks to be rescued. Saul is hot on David's heels. Samuel will tell us, as I mentioned, that David is pleading for God's help as he thinks upon God's promises. And what we find in 1 Samuel is God rescuing David. God answering this prayer. I'm jumping, kind of combining three and one here a little bit. But we find that because you see what happens here is 1 Samuel, is David is hot on his heels. Guess what happens? The Philistines decide to attack Israel again. And so Saul has to take his troops and he has to come full circle and he has to go protect his people from the Philistines. David is spared that way. God, even his sovereignty, even moves the enemies of his people to spare David. He prays for rescue. Save me. Spare me. Rescue me. Second thing we find is he wants vindication. Vindicate me by your might. Saul has accused David of being a traitor against the people of Israel. Yet we know, as we read the scriptures, we know David is a man of God's own choosing. We know that God had anointed David as king. David is determined not to take matters in his own hands. We see that a number of times. And if you're like me, sometimes I read these stories and I go, it was all set up for you perfectly, David, but David didn't. David didn't want to take matters upon himself. He was going to allow, he was going to let God give him the kingship. David's not going to raise a hand against Saul. And so here as we see these petitions, David prays for vindication. Lord, you vindicate me. I'm not going to vindicate myself. I'm not going to take vengeance upon myself, as we read in Romans chapter 12. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So, Lord, vindicate me. And then in verses 2 and 3, that third petition, David says, answer me. Answer me. God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Those words are used to show us a sense of urgency, a sense of need. We do the same thing for our teachers in our congregation. How do you demand the attention of your students? Well, there's a variety of ways you could do it. I suppose you could yell. I mean, that would work. Or you could maybe ring a bell, tap something. But you know. And you'd think that for our college professors here, that it would probably be a lot easier to grab their attention in class. But you probably, both of you are smiling at me. So I'm thinking that they're both going, no, it's not quite as easy as you think. We do that. We get the sense of urgency. Sometimes when we talk to our kids, we might go, hey, I'm talking. Listen to me. Or as we read the Bible, as we see even in verse 4, we find that word. And now some of you here think that I probably spend way too much time on this word. But we see that word, behold. Oh, pay attention. David here is asking God for an answer. He's saying, Lord, listen to me. Listen to my cry. Lord, I'm dependent upon you. And David bases this petition on two things. Did you see that? He bases it on God's name and God's might. God's name and God's power. God's name reveals to us something about himself, something about his attributes, something about his character, something about his reputation. And if you look in the psalm, it's really kind of interesting here in this psalm. In this psalm, we find three names for God. Quickly, if you have a Bible open, look at this. Verses 1 and 2, we find God. We find the word God, referencing his, that he's the creator. Then, and we also see in verse 4, then jump down to verse, help me out here. Verse 6, we find Lord, L-O-R-D. We find L-O-R-D. We find the covenant name of God. And in some translations, there is also a third Lord in here. Some translations where it's capital L, little O, little R, little D. Recognizing that that's the ruler of the world. And so we have the creator and the ruler and that Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And that's God's covenant name, is his self-existence, his self-sufficiency. David here is saying, look, save me, Lord, because of who you are. Because I know the promises you've given to me. I know the promises in your word. I know the promises. I know how you spared me in the past. Lord, save me again. He looks at, vindicate me by your might, by your power. The sovereignty, the almighty power of God. The Lord of hosts, as another name we see in the scriptures. And yet he's compassionate and faithful. David here presents these petitions to him. He's saying, look, Lord, there are strangers who have risen against me. There's ruthless men who are seeking my life. They don't set God before themselves. They're strangers. That word, by the way, sometimes that word is derived from this idea of wandering away. These people have wandered away from you. They're ruthless. They're violent. They're coming after me. Lord, they don't have you in focus. They don't have you in mind. They don't have you as their Lord. They're serving themselves. They're serving something else. And David is praying here, Lord, I'm dependent upon you. That's his petition. Lord, I'm dependent on you because your promises are good. Your promises are for me. Isn't there something to be learned there for us? To be dependent upon God. To be dependent upon him, even when our children are wandering from the Lord. To be dependent upon him even if our marriage is falling apart. To be dependent upon him even when we get that doctor's diagnosis. Or when we're challenged at work or at school. That we fall upon our knees before God and present our petitions to him in prayer because we know that he will answer, that he will answer us, and we will know that because of his promises. David is reflecting on the promises already made to him and saying, Lord, I know you're going to do this. And we have all the scriptures to us, and we read it each and every Lord's Day, and we read it in our devotions, and yet there are so many times where we find ourselves doing the exact opposite. There's so many times where we forget to trust in him. To know that he's faithful. To know those promises. And so brothers and sisters, even when there's times we don't really know how exactly to pray, we must remember as we present our petitions before God to pray with confidence because we know God's promises, we know God will keep them, and we know that he'll answer. And so we pray and we plead in the midst of our circumstances. We present our petitions before God. That leads to a second point. Second point I want to consider. We first of all said that this is a petition. We see David's petition. Secondly, we see David's proclamation. His proclamation. What is David proclaiming? Verses 4 and 5. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. David here proclaims the character of God. David here proclaims who God is. David proclaims with confidence what God will do for him. Remember the setting. David has King Saul and his armies after him. David has his little band of supporters, and they're in danger. Real, mortal danger. And David here reminds himself that him who is with me is greater than the one who is against me. Just like that prophet would see the armies of the Lord and the kings surrounding him. And more are those who are with us than those who are against us. David here proclaims and meditates on the character of God. What do we see here? David reminds himself first of all and proclaims first of all that God is his helper. Helper. That's a military term, by the way. That military term means he's an ally. He's one that comes to the rescue. We think of World War II. We have the Allies and how we helped the Allies win World War II. We came to the rescue, and God is an ally who comes to our rescue when we are in need. He is the Lord of hosts. He comes for our aid. That's why Paul can say, and that's why we can cling to those promises that we read in Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? When we're facing circumstances that seem so beyond our control, we must remember that God is dependable. God is our helper. That with him, nothing is impossible. He is our helper. David secondly says, the Lord is the upholder of my life. The sustainer of my life. David's life. This is an incredible psalm. If you think about the circumstances, David is saying here, look, my life isn't in Saul's hands. Lord, my life is in yours. I'm in danger, Lord, but I'm in your hands. I'm facing betrayal, but I'm in your hands. I'm facing a deep hurt by my own people, but I'm in your hands. The family separated, but we're in your hands. I'm struggling with depression, but I'm in your hands. David's reminding us that God's going to work his will in us. He's the upholder of my life. David has confidence in that. Thirdly, David says he will return the evil to my enemies. He's going to recompense evildoers. He is the one that's going to bring justice to evil in this world. And then finally, David says, in your faithfulness, put an end to them. David's going to destroy his enemies, but that's going to be a reflection upon God's faithfulness. God has already promised to destroy his enemies, and so David simply longs for the Lord to be faithful to his promises. David's proclaiming these things. Now, one commentary even went so far as that David is preaching these things to himself in these verses, which I thought was really interesting. He's proclaiming these things. He's preaching these things to himself. In a sense, he is taking it and he's pressing it into his head and he's pressing into his heart to believe it. Because he knows that in times of dire straits, he's just like you and me. When times get tough, we tend to forget those things. We tend to do the exact opposite of those things. When we're hurting, we're under attack, the first thing we want to do is complain. The first thing we want to do is just complain to somebody, argue with somebody, talk to other people. David, the first thing he does in those times of need is he goes to the Lord in prayer. If you're like me, it's pretty shameful that many times that's not what I first do. In times of difficulty, first thing I don't do is fall upon my knees and pray. But I should. But David wants to talk to God. David proclaims these things. He recognizes God as his helper and his upholder, as God is the one who's going to return the evil to his enemies. God who is faithful. And I ask you today, as we think about prayers, as we think about proclaiming who God is, I ask you today, is this what we pray? Do we pray, Lord, uphold me? Help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, be faithful to me. Lord, I know your word and I know your promises. And Lord, that's what I cling to. That's what my hope is. Because we sometimes forget everything we know about God when trouble comes. We tend to follow our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, rather than following God. And so David here meditates and he proclaims the truth of who God is. He shows us, even in the verses 4 and 5, we even see a glimpse into the plan of redemption for us in Christ Jesus as God helps us, as he upholds us, as he delivers us from our sins, as he shows us his faithfulness at the cross and at the empty tomb. That our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they will come to an end ultimately. Because of Christ. Because in Christ we see who God is. In Christ we see what he's done for us. So we see David's petition. We see David's proclamation. It leads to one last point I want to make this morning, and that's this: David's praise. David's praise. Verses 6 and 7. For with a free will offering I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. There are scholars that differ on when David wrote this psalm. If David wrote this psalm after all these events happened, well, we can kind of understand verse 6 and 7. We can understand as you think back on it, and I can see why we would praise God. Just like in the times when things of circumstances, of troubles we're faced, how often that after it's all done, we can kind of look back and go, God was faithful to us. God did deliver me. But there are some scholars that think David wrote this while it was happening. Now put 6 and 7 in a much different light, isn't it? David is praising God. David is praising God. If it's occurring while, if he wrote this while this psalm while these things are happening, David is praising God even in the midst of the circumstances. I wonder if that describes us. Because we don't like betrayal. We don't like bitterness. We don't like pain. We don't like suffering. We don't like inconveniences. But David praises God, even when his life is in danger. Look at verse 6. Willingly, with a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. Some translations use the word willingly. Willingly. He's going to sacrifice to you. He's going to give thanks to your name. There's the name again. We looked at that in verse 1. Now we return back to that name in verse 6. I'm going to give thanks to you because of who you are, because how you revealed yourself to us. I'm going to give you thanks because you are the Creator God. I'm going to give you thanks because you are the ruler of the world. I'm going to give you thanks, Lord, because you are the covenant God, the one who has revealed yourself to us, who has made your promises that you will not forsake. I'll give you thanks, Lord, because you're with me, because you promised to be with your people. David praises God because of his name, his reputation, his character, because it says, therefore, it is good. It is good. It is so good to come to God's house. It's so good to come praise the Lord, isn't it? And when things are going good for you and for me, we can come here with a sense of a sense of joy, we get a sense of gladness. But what about when push comes to shove? What about that when you lose that job? What about when there's trouble in the family? What happens? We tend to stay away. As strange as it sounds, or we come here and we are like, this isn't really where I want to be. No, this should be the very place that we want to be in those times of need. To come praise, give thanks to the Lord, for it is good. His name is good. He is good. And then in verse 7, David says it is good because of who God is, because of what he's done, verse 7, because he's delivered me from every trouble. Because it's given him triumph over his enemies. When we think about who God is and what he's done for us, I hope our hearts overflow with abundant worship. Not just in our words, not just in our deeds, not just in our time here, but at all our time and our talents and our treasures to abundantly worship God, willingly, wholeheartedly worship him. David recognizes who God is, recognizes what he's done, and he can't help but worship. We should be bursting at the seams, wanting to come praise God in the house of the Lord. We should be so excited to come and gather with his people here. And that excitement should not just be just one Lord's Day, just a Christmas and Easter, or just once in a while, or when I feel like it. No, we should do it Lord's Day after Lord's Day to get here so we can spend this full time in worship. Because we realize who God is, because we realize what God has done for us. To worship, to praise him. And so as we think about our prayers should be full of petitions to God, knowing his promises. That our prayers should be filled with proclamations of who he is, declaring what we read in God's word about who he is, how he is. And there's so many attributes and so many characteristics of God that we read in the scriptures. If you think about our prayers, we should always fill them with praise, even when we don't get the answer we're looking for, or even if we have to wait for the answer. And you see, brothers and sisters in Christ, when we think about what God has done, who he is, and what he's done for us, and we look at the psalm and we see that God has been our helper. He was our helper as we think about Christ, and we think about how in this world of sin and suffering, of betrayal and bitterness, how Christ came as our helper. Christ was strong in grace. Christ came and helped his needy people. Christ, and as we live our lives, as we bear his cross in this world, as we live for him, to answer that we constantly and continually seek God, to answer our prayers, to offer our petitions, to make those continue to make those proclamations, not only in prayer, but in our lives, as we talk with others, as to continually give praise to him. Because God has heard us, God has helped us, and God has saved us in Christ. And for that reason, amongst many others, is why we're here, why we're worshiping the Lord God today. So let me conclude. As we think about our prayer life, as we think about our lives today, As we think about the joys and sorrows, the heartaches, the heartbreaks, the triumphs and the tragedies, we're called to pray. We're called to petition our God. We're called to proclaim His name. We're called to praise Him always. I hope that's our pattern of prayer. I hope that's the way, I hope that's our approach as we come to the Lord God in praise, in prayer, and worship. May He bless us with His word today. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You would teach us this psalm. That You would, as we use layman's term, pound it in our hearts and our minds. That when troubles come, that we would proclaim You. When troubles come, that we would petition for Your promises to be fulfilled. When troubles would come, that we would find Your mercy to deliver us, or Your grace to enable us to bear, to stand up from underneath those temptations. But Lord, in all these things, Lord, may You teach us to praise You for who You are, because of what You've done for us, because You are our helper, our upholder, because You are faithful, because You are good. Oh Lord, we thank You for Psalm 54. In Jesus' name we pray, and let all of God's people say, Amen.